The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Well, brethren, returning from God's Feast of Tabernacles, are we inspired more about what God is doing for His people than we were ever before attending the feast? I mean, the feast has been a true blessing for God's people. Now, for us, we were in the St. Augustine area, and it rained almost every day. But it was nice because you saw people and the Spirit serving one another. It was nice to hear the messages, and it was true delight to see the fellowship. While attending, I hope that we were now more focused about our job that will be in the kingdom and the importance of why we were there observing the Feast of Tabernacles. See, God has given us a great job, a great responsibility to do, and He has called us from anyone else in the world. God also explains to us for doing this job that He has chosen us to do by doing it correctly in a way that is pleasing to Him. We receive a wonderful reward. We become God's very own children, future kings and priests in His kingdom. See, God wants His people to be obedient in all matters of His law, because He does not want any more influences Satan has put on the world to flow into His kingdom. See, God has committed to finish the job that He has started. The question we need to ask, are we committed to God to finish the job that we have been called to do, so we can inherit the kingdom that God and Jesus Christ is preparing for those who remain faithful to the end? No matter how many years we may have been in the church, we must continue to continue to learn about God and the importance why it is to follow Him in all matters of our life. Let's step back and take a look at before we were called into God's truth. As we were learning about God, or when we were first coming into the God's truth, it may have taken a little time before we could put our entire trust and confidence in God. Like in keeping the Sabbath day, instead of keeping it weekly, maybe we kept it every now and then, once a month, something like that. Or maybe taking not all the full times of the holy days, or not taking off for the Feast of Tabernacles, or only taking 2 days off, whatever it may be. Being faithful in our tithes, being faithful in our offerings. As we learn, we do this more and more, and this is pleasing God, so where we can enjoy the blessings that God gives us. See, the more we learn about God, the more that we can put our trust in Him, because we know that God is always consistent in carrying out His laws and dealing with His people in a merciful way. Now that we know God's truth and have been observing it in our life for some time, have you ever stopped to think about yourself, on what God thinks of us? The more we learn about God and His righteousness, the more that we can show God how we desire to live in His way of life. And if we can trust God in all aspects of our life, can we say God can trust us to follow through with His plan that He has in store for His people and eventually the rest of the world? See, God has chosen us for this great calling, and we have answered that calling. Then we begin to live our life in God's knowledge, reading, studying our Bible, being convicted in what we believe to be good and wholesome according to the scriptures that we read. And then we commit to follow God's way of life, regardless of the consequences it may have or affect us. See, do we still have that same feeling today of knowing God's truth as we did when we first started to learn it? Or has something changed? This is one reason why we must keep God's feast days and finished up with the Feast of Tabernacles, to give ourselves a diagnostic checkup, to make sure that we are on the right road, following the correct footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a saying you're probably familiar with, that if you don't know where you are going, it doesn't matter what road you take to get there. And then upon arriving, you do not know where you are. We need to know, brethren, where we are going. We need to know the direction and have confidence in God to lead us. Let's begin by turning to Matthew chapter 7. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, we'll pick up in verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there by which go in by it." See, Christ here compares the kingdom of God as an entrance of walking through a gate. But let's use the analogy of this road that we're on. See, the wicked, they prefer a wide road, one that has many lanes and no speed limits, so they can easily swerve from lane to lane, pushing their way through to get whatever they want, when they want, and how fast they want to get there. Unfortunately, this is the way of the world, which is wicked. And eventually, its sin will lead to death. It's easy to drive on it because it's very roomy. As verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there find it." See, this narrow road leads to a one-way bridge. And this bridge is so small, there's no room for maneuvering. You must have to go through perfectly. Sin and wickedness has no room to pass on it. Only righteousness has enough to make it through. This way is pleasing to God, and it leads to eternal life. In Matthew chapter 16, a few pages over. In Matthew chapter 16, picking up in verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciple, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my name's sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world?" And when I think of this, I like to put this in today's term. What is a man profit if he wins the lottery, but on the way to collect his winnings, he dies in a car accident? So what good does it do that he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what a man will give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. See, we will not be qualified to enter into God's kingdom if we are trying to save ourselves from the destruction of man on our own, not letting God to do it for us. See, we cannot serve God or be God's true servants if we have one foot in the world doing worldly things because we don't want to be criticized for doing right. So we mimic what they do so they don't really know who we really are. God doesn't like that. We must be pure. We must be holy in His sight at all times. We must be committed to give up everything in our physical life to please God completely. For when Jesus Christ returns, there is no escaping from the righteous judgment of God. Either we're going to stand and receive our reward, or we're going to stand and receive our sentence. These feast days that we just come out of help us remind us of the big picture, the kingdom of God, so we don't forget the road that we are traveling on. We are in training, brethren, to be kings and priests in God's kingdom. Let us not forget our true potential of who we can become. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. In this chapter, we read about the blessings of the various tribes that Moses gave. And he also, we learn about the functions of the body. But in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 33, it says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." And then dropping down to verse 8, it basically says that Moses tells what the function of the Levites were to be. But I'd like to pick up in verse 10, where it says, "They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy laws, and they shall put incense before thee, and the whole burnt sacrifice upon thy altar." Well, when you read this, the priests, Levites, were to teach God's law to Israel. through their services and ceremonies, taking care of Israel's spiritual needs, teaching them the knowledge of God's law, setting the example, being the example for them, so they can learn the way to righteousness and truth, learning about God, and learning how God expects them to live, and how they are to worship and serve Him. However, over periods of time, it didn't last very long for Israel to remove themselves from the presence of God, and later down the road, in certain trials, they began to seek God once in a while for knowledge and safety when they were in trouble. So let's pick up the story in 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, and picking up and reading verse 3 and 4, it says, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they were in trouble, did turn unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought Him, He was found of them." What happened is Israel removed themselves from the knowledge and worshiping of God to do their own thing. And in some instances, Israel found themselves in great trials, without God to lead them, or without His laws that they can at least know where they're at. And in some cases, they would turn to God, and He was found by them. But during that time period, Israel lived a gross neglect of God's laws in their lives. Brethren, we cannot allow this form of attitude that Israel had happen to us. We cannot believe that we're better off on our own knowledge, doing our own things, under our own understanding. We want to serve God. We want to receive the blessings God gives His people, regardless of what the consequences the world may place on us. So where do we put our trust? It's a question that we ask, and we know that it is God is where our trust is. But can we be trusted to follow through? We must always know God is going to be there for us, whether good or bad. And God allows trials to happen to us so we can be made stronger, so we can grow in His knowledge and learn how to put all of our confidence in Him. We must desire to learn all that we can of God and His perfect righteousness so we are able to do other things like teach others through speaking, through our actions. For those people who want to know what we're about, we're different, and not to walk away from the responsibilities that the Levites had done. Turn with me over to the New Testament, to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, and in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entirely wanting nothing." See, trials show proof of our level of conversion. The man that stands in each trial righteously looking for God gives proof that his conviction is to follow God and His way of life, because he works off of sound doctrine. And the evidence afforded in his mind induces him to have courage, being patient, and to persevere with gladness. Let's turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel 22 and verse 3. It says, "God is my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou saves me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." David writes this about the sufferings and afflictions that he has. But as the Psalms go on, it always ends in triumph and praise for what God does for him. because of David's faithfulness to God, David learns things that God wanted him to learn through his sufferings. And in some things, those are things that we learn today, the same lessons that David had to learn, that we live in our lives. So we can understand how much we need God in our life today. But brethren, if you know, in times of difficulties, singing praises to God brings immediate comfort and deliverance. And just like David celebrated all that God had achieved because he was a willing tool for God to work through, being that willing servant, God does the same for us, continually trying and testing us so we can be built up, lifted up, so we can be strong in his knowledge, preparing us to be ready for our future role in his kingdom. For us to have honor, we must be honorable, trustworthy in keeping God's holy days, his commandments and statutes, proving ourselves, knowing through our action, we show that we have the desire to please God. Even in times of danger, we call on God. And because of our actions on how we turn to God using his wisdom, God always pulls us through and blesses us for following his way of life, making us safe from our enemies. Dropping down to verse 31 in 2 Samuel 22, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all of them that trust in him." For the church, God tries and tests us so we may be refined to make ourselves ready for our husband, Jesus Christ. Even as the world becomes more in turmoil with their way of life, God gives us the opportunity to shine, to be a beacon of light to the world, spreading his gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God through our actions and the fruit that we produce and others see growing in our life. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and we'll pick up the story in verse 14. Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." And then we kind of have a commandment here in verse 16 where it says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, everything we do, we are to do it to glorify God. He is number one in our life. And anything that takes him from that position that we replace him with is breaking the commandment. For us to be kings and priests in the future, we have to be in training today, learning how to be a royal family. When children are brought up in a wealthy family, or they're brought up in a royal family or kingdom, they are taught how to act. They are taught how to speak. They set themselves up posture-wise. They portray a different character than the other citizens of the kingdom or even their servants. Because all of the servants and the citizens of that kingdom are going to always look for them for leadership and guidance. And in most cases, we need to learn certain things. And we need to learn how God wants his children to act. Because we are going to be royalty. And we are royalty at this time because we stand before God holy. See, Satan is out there trying to do whatever he can to destroy us. He accuses us constantly with our faults. This is why we need the holy days, to make sure that we are on the right road, but also preparing for our future role with Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter, chapter 5, and verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that he had suffered a while, make you perfect, established and strengthened, settled you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." The life and problems that we have in this world, it might be tough when we're dealing with a certain trial. It could go on for days, months, maybe even years. But brethren, we must be faithful and never lose sight on the big picture. Because when you really look at it this way, the trials that we endure are very, very small when you compare it to spending the rest of eternity with God. We need to remain faithful because our God remains faithful to us, His people. Let us never lose that trust or give up on God to where we want to throw it away or take our salvation not seriously. See, can God trust us that we will finish the job He has given us to do? Because we know we can always trust in Him continually, fearing not being threatened by our enemies or the trials that may be placed upon us. Because God is our refuge. He is our strength. The difference is God wants His people to step up to the plate, to be different than what's out there. And brethren, in order for us to do it, we must desire to have eternal life, to have the desire to be with God forever, to be able to be His royal priesthood. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up in verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give ye charge in thy sight of God, who quicken all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." We are to live this gospel that we are being taught every minute of our life, to defend the cause of God, fighting, conquering, seizing the prize, so we can carry off the crown of eternal life. Brethren, we are to play to win. Like we see the sports professionals playing in the Super Bowl or the World Series. They play, they give their heart out with all of their being to win what? Bragging rights for a year? A ring? A trophy? It's an earthly prize that they play for. But we're playing for something bigger. We're playing to win a crown of glory. A crown of victory that lasts for all eternity. And once we receive it, no one can take it away. As we just completed the last holy day of the year, are we looking forward to next year, to where we can learn more about God and His kingdom? Well, brethren, I'd like to give you three short points that can help keep our mind focused on God and His plan, and how we can be excited and prepared for Christ to return and to usher in the kingdom of God on earth. The first one is faith. We must never lose faith that God will not do what He claims He will do for us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, memory scripture for most of us, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now let's look at all the truth that we have learned and we believe God has given to us. It's all faith-based. We believe in a righteous kingdom. We know it exists, but we cannot see it. We know Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we don't know the time nor the hour. We are going to be crowned with glory. We're going to have a new name given to us, but we don't know what that name is going to be. See, the faith that we have compared to what the world holds is totally different. God has opened up our eyes. He has removed the veil. Our minds can now see and hear the things that others believe is a fairy tale. But it begins with knowing the weekly Sabbath, and then it expands through the holy days. See, the spring holy days are building blocks. They help build a relationship that is personal with God and Jesus Christ. While the fall holy days show what God is doing and what He is going to do to fix all of mankind's problems. See, Satan's rule is going to be replaced by Jesus Christ, who then at that time is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ will rule the world with righteous judgment, with His saints by His side. The demons are also going to be replaced by the sons of God, and they will teach because now they are the bride of Jesus Christ. And it begins with us today having faith in God's word and preparing ourselves through God's instruction, being faithful to the end so we can receive our inheritance. Let's turn back to the end of the book, to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, picking up in verse 5, we'll read verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1 verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to be glory and dominion forever and ever." Jesus Christ is the faithful witness of the whole will of God, before His death, during His death, and in His death. He remained in glory, pleasing God His Father, who then rose Him up from the dead on the third day, becoming the first of the first fruits, now having complete power in both heaven and earth. And at the sound of the seventh trump, Jesus will return to this earth to receive His bride, the church, for them to be spiritually born into the family of God. Then He will remove Satan from his power and give all humanity the opportunity to know about God and His righteousness through the resurrection of the dead. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5, which is page number 1377 in my book. Revelation chapter 5, in verse 10, it says, "And hath made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." If our faith continually causes us to have to fight and struggle, trying to understand God's laws and His magnificent plan of salvation, we may not have the full value of what it means to be part of God's way of life, reigning as kings and priests on the earth. The second point I'd like to give is conviction. Conviction, studying daily in our life, making sure we know and understand God's truth. We have to be willing to search the Scriptures and to understand what God wants us to do to please Him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, "Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that you should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." We need to know and know that we know God's truth, because we never know, brethren, when we are going to be tested and tried, whether it be by person, trial, or action. We will either do what we claim to believe in because of our conviction in serving God, or we will fail and be what Satan desires us to be. We are the delegates of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God to the world through our actions, by our examples that we show others. For we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, future citizens, kings, and priests of the kingdom of God. So are you excited what God is willing to give you if we endure to the end of our life? And the final point I have is conversion. Growing in God's nature, having good sense of knowing right from wrong, holding true to righteousness, no matter what the cost. God desires us to be better than when we were first called. But we don't become stagnant. We continue to learn to be better than we were yesterday. And tomorrow we're to be better than we are today. And that's both physically and spiritually. We must also to have the desire to want to be like God and Jesus Christ, allowing ourselves to be molded in His very image. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In closing, if you turn to Matthew chapter 25, just a few thoughts to leave you with. In Matthew chapter 25, you'll know this story. It's called the Parable of the Talents. And paraphrasing it, it's that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a man traveling to a far country. He calls his servants before leaving, and he delivers to them his goods. And the master gave talents to each of them. He gave one 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability. And then the master took off on his journey. But brethren, we know the end of the story. And what happens? What they did, some of them felt that they were doing to please God. They feel that that they needed to do the actions that they did. But when the master comes back, what happens? Well, in verse 16 through 18, it says that one that had received 5 talents, he made another 5 talents to gross 10, or had 10 total. Likewise, the one who received 2 also gained 2. But the one that received 1 talent, he went and dug a hole and put it in the earth, and he hid his master's talent. Now let's pick up the story in verse 26. In verse 26 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, "His Lord answered and said unto him, You wicked and slothful servant, you know that I reap where I not sow, and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought therefore should have put my money with the exchangers or in the bank, that it would be drawing interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it unto him who has 10 talents. And then in verse 29 is a warning message. It says, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath shall not be taken away even that which he hath." See, God is going to take away what we do not completely cherish or hold dear to our heart. We want to be good servants, taking care of our Lord's business, who is Jesus Christ, waiting for his return to receive his bride. The question I leave you, can God trust us to finish his work as he prepared for us to do? Well, brethren, let's be confident in our life, using godly wisdom to guide us in all of our aspects, waiting for that day when we will hear Jesus Christ say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord." For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.